Does your vision for business match what you see happening on a daily basis? Welcome to Jim White's Circle of Success, where Jim White brings it all together. For over 30 years, Jim White has worked with organizations and individuals worldwide to help develop and implement excellence. You'll get the inside story on how to create innovative leaders from one corner of your company to the other. Get everyone on your team contributing to the bottom line. Keep building revenue even when the economy and your customers have flatlined, and more. Jim White's Circle of Success Radio covers it all, from communication to contract negotiation, from personal fulfillment to revving up cash flow. It's not about theories. It's about showing you what works and how to make it work for you. And now, here's your host, Jim White.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Jim White coming to you live from beautiful Carmel, California on Saturday, December 24, 2011. Yes, in the United States, Christmas, if I can talk here this morning, the Christmas spirit is in full swing. So I want to wish everybody a great holiday. And I was preparing for the show. I was saying, what am I going to do on this day, the 24th of December? That's not being done around the world, and that's to take a look at 2011. Now, you cannot turn on any radio station or TV, 24 cycle, or blogs or anything of the nature not talking about 2011 in review. Well, I'm going to attempt to put my spin on, from my eyes, taking a look at 2011. And I will say personally, for 2011, it has been a very, very interesting year in a lot of cases, just like a lot of you out there in radio land. It's been a challenge on a lot of fronts for a lot of us. And every time I see a challenge, I also see an opportunity. And that's hard sometimes to express and to believe that there's opportunity lies within challenge. But I believe it, and I am certainly living it on a daily basis. We're always looking, how do we get better? How do we become a better me? How can we reach more people globally to be able to inspire and to educate and to do something by giving a piece of strategy or a tool that's going to help your life be better tomorrow than it was today? That is my purpose. That is my whole purpose in life, and I am always digging to see how I can get our message to millions and hundreds of millions of people worldwide. Part of the 2011 in review, before I get into what I really want to frame today, we started our television show on November 14, 2011, and it's at jlwcos.tv, and it's on KYMB-TV, Comcast Channel 19, in the local markets in Monterey County, California, Santa Cruz, parts of San Benito. But we started that show once again in an effort to bring you inspiring guests from all walks of life, all industries, to be able to give you tools and strategies, as I'd say, each and every Monday that you can use immediately to help improve your personal and professional life. We're going to continue to do that as we come into 2012. We certainly look for your feedback and suggestions on how we can bring you more meaningful content. So we're certainly open to your feedback. And at any time, you can send us an email at jim@jlwcos.tv, and we'd be happy to entertain your suggestions. Now, as I was preparing, as I said, and you know me by now, say it again, say it again, say it again, right? As I was preparing for the show, I digging through all the archives, digging through all of my notes that I made throughout the year, Going back and taking a look at the different shows that we've done throughout the year, reflecting on the clients that we worked with in 2011, all the notes, all the feedback, and how can we sum it up in today's show in a meaningful way that's going to touch your heart and your head in a very positive way. So as I started to write my opening, and as I do, I think well by on paper, if you will. So as I was writing, as I was preparing, as I was searching, and God knows, you know, thank God to the internet, right? But sometimes it's overwhelming when you start doing all the research and all the major news outlets and just trying to remember and put everything in perspective. So I hope I can do 2011 justice in my review. And what we're going to do in today's show is just review that. And you're welcome to send us any emails, and we'll answer your questions as well. So happy to do that at jim@jlwcos.tv. So welcome that. So we're going to get this quick message in, and when we come back, I am going to give you my review from my eyes as I see 2011. So stay with us, and you're listening to the Circle of Success Radio with Dr. Jim White, and we'll be right back after this message.
Are you looking for a clarity of purpose? Are you a recent college graduate, unemployed, an entrepreneur, or considering a career change? A business owner or employee struggling with performance issues? Announcing the August 20th launch of the worldwide phenomenon, What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course 2.0. What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course 2.0 can help you define your goals and vision. Start living your life on purpose. Living on purpose is all about joy. Living on purpose is about intention. Living on purpose is about personal transformation and continued growth. What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course 2.0 is a 12-week challenging course that helps you address finances, relationships, spiritual growth, physical and mental health. You'll reclaim your personal power and get your life on track to attain true success. What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course 2.0 launches August 20th. Learn more and register at whatsmypurpose.com/V2. That's whatsmypurpose.com/V2.
We're back. Thank you, David. I want to make a comment about that message. As David said, we launched my What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course version 2 in August, on August the 20th, 2011. So we're going to start our first 12-week class. Jeez, I'm having a hard time talking today. Not enough caffeine this morning. So bear with me. As I said, we're going to start our first 12-week course of 2012 on January the 16th at 5 p.m. Now, you can go to whatsmypurpose.com and to register. And we certainly are doing everything that we possibly can in order to help everybody to participate in this 12-week process. And it's life-changing, and we certainly hope that you can help. We're going to be dealing with your financial life, your spiritual life, your journey of life, your relationship life, your physical and mental health, and just do all the things that's necessary in order to be able to get you focused, get you on the right path, help you, be here to support you and all of those things that you're struggling with, and we're certainly going to do everything we can. We're going to offer some payment plans as well, so we're not getting rich at this, but you know, we got to pay the bills. So anyway, go to whatsmypurpose.com and go ahead and register. And we got a couple of new. We're going to be streaming live each and every class. It's going to be very interesting. And we're also going to have a pay-per-view opportunity through our streaming. So we'll be telling you more about that. So I just wanted to explain to you why you were here on August 20th when we did our message there. So here we go. this is from my eyes, my interpretation from 2011. And as I was looking at this, looking at the historical measures, there's really not all that much to be angry about. And I know I'm going to get a lot of emails on this, where we have 14 million people still unemployed. We have both houses, polarization. We have major corporations making more cash and setting up more cash and not releasing it. So a lot of people are like, wow, what do you mean by that? So bear with me and as I drill down on this more. And our research taught us, and as far back in 1981, the proportion of the developing world living in extreme poverty has fallen from 50% to less than 20% in the world. Very interesting, right? And that's according to the United Nations latest data. Infant mortality is down across the board, all across the board. It's down since 1981. So what we're doing is just kind of frame, when I say the good, bad, and the ugly, and to be able to put things in perspective as to what we should be thankful for, even though we got wars raging on every corner, we got terrorist activities, some of our freedoms have been removed as a result of 9/11. We have high unemployment, we have houses falling apart and foreclosure, thus just absolutely get me started on that fiasco. And I think that's one of the stupidest things I've seen the industry do. And at the same time that I see that the United States government has done, where we all belly up to the bar and say, yeah, we all messed up. We all screwed up on this real estate thing, okay? A lot of loans were given that shouldn't be given and on and on and on. So we know the drill there, right? So versus coming up and kind of doing what the U.S. did to the automobile industry and giving them a bailout, no, we have sat here and we have just milked and screwed up so many people's lives. Not to say that we don't have an area of responsibility. We do. But in my mind, what we missed and what's going to come stay with us into 2012 and beyond is that we did not deal with this foreclosure crisis in a better way. And we still have an opportunity to do that if we have any political leader or private sector industry leader that has the courage to step up and say this is what we need to do. And what is it we need to do as I look at this review? Well, what is it we need to do in my mind, Jim White's mind, is to say, okay, we're going to go back and take all mortgages, we're going to reapply, we're going to readjust these things, we're going to do a one-time write-off across the board, across the nation, we're going to keep people in their houses, but we're going to have better risk analysis going forward, but it's get it over with once and for all, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of feedback on this, both pro and negative, but that's okay. But, you know, it's still not too late for us to come into 2012 because what's happening, we have so much inventory setting us in to falling apart because it's been foreclosed on, people have been kicked out of the house, and it's limiting growth. So we got to get this off the market and we got to get this thing moving. So whoever that's wearing a political hat that wants to grab this and run with it, happy to support you. But man, that's an area that's really, really needs to be addressed. And as I was saying, as I was doing the research and as we looked at the infant mortality, as I said, it's down across the board, right? And what's interesting, we're looking at this from a global perspective at this time. Now, the number of girls in school is up around, for the most part, around the globe, okay? Terrorists and the tyrants are certainly getting what's due them, and that's happened pretty much on a regular basis right now, which is a good thing. We got to stop it. We got to stop it now. So that's happening. And even though war and being a disabled veteran, Vietnam conflict, I understand firsthand what that's like. I understand what death's like. I understand what war's like. I know what it's like to smell and look and see people die. I understand it. It's not from a movie. I know it and experienced it firsthand. Now, but what I wanted to say, the chances of dying in war has never been lower because of the technology, and that's where I'm going with this. So the technology is good, and the amount of time that from a one of our heroes that would be wounded in the field to medical care is like minutes today. So that's good. That's a great improvement. But no war, and I'm not advocating war. You know, I'm totally against it. Okay, but in 2011. We also saw our 7 billionth person, 7 billion people was born into a world that is, in fact, and I'm making a baseline since 1981, okay, just making a baseline from 81 and doing history, even though that we have a real challenge today. The world's richer, it really is, and healthier and safer, and I know safer, than any other time in history since 91. It is, even though we got challenges. So what I hope you are gleaning for this is, yeah, we got a huge amount of challenges, but we got to keep everything in perspective as well and to understand that we do have opportunity. But, man, we also got to keep everything in alignment, okay? Now, none of which kept in a sizable proportion of the planet from open revolt. So we've had a lot of open revolt. We're going to talk about that. The uprising that rippled from Cairo even to our home state, California, and back again, were linked not by a common enemy, that's what I chose to say, a common enemy, but by a common emotion. Now, that's the key. We, every individual, every walking, breathing DNA person on the face of earth has emotion. And they have basic needs that must be met. And if we do not meet these needs, the people or the masses are going to revolt. I don't know what about that we don't get, but it's going to happen. We should have anticipated this, okay? But few of us did. But that's what I call, in my world, in my coaching, in my consulting practice, in my speaking and radio and television we do, is what I call making the invisible visible, right? And that's our opportunity and that's our challenge. And we have rage. Rage would boil over in the Middle East like it has. The Occupy movement, and we'll drill down on each one of these topics as we go through the show, at once in the world's youngest, and that's what you think. What people don't realize is the Middle East has one of the world's youngest populations, and when you try to keep them down for a period of time and take their freedoms and the basic life and just liberties, and this is where this revolt's coming from. But when envisioned through people marching down Broadway, holding signs that read "Turn Wall Street into Tahrir," and I know I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, to square. What distinguished the anger, if you will, of that past 12 months was its comprehensiveness of across in all different parts of the world. Wall Street and Occupy, and I mean, there's so much could be said about the Occupy movement, and I know a lot of the people that actually turned out to this thing are people that really, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, really didn't have a job, didn't have anything to do, as troublemakers anyway, but I understand the premise is there, right? So let me hear your emails on that. It's absolutely the outburst of people. Power is one of the biggest things since 1989, which transformed Europe, but stopped at its borders in 2011. Volatility went viral, okay? Viral. And this is what we have in this world of instant social media and all of these things, just viral, just like today. We're streaming live, JLWCOS.TV. We're live right now, and anybody in the world can log on to that URL, and here we are looking at each other, right? Or I'm looking at you, or you can see me, right? Viral. So it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, the protest highlighted the gap, that's the word I chose, the gap between this era's advances, and the gap in advances, and the sense, at least in the developed world, okay, that we're out over the edge in a lot of ways of the cliffs and the legs and everything spinning and frantically before a humiliating fall, if you will. And we have been humiliated in the United States. I mean, the downgrade, and in my opinion, the humiliation of the mess around in Congress just absolutely makes me sick what's going on in both houses. And the debt ceiling and the down rating, and I will never get over that. You know, if you've ever, I mean, like I said, we are veterans and we fight for different things that we believe in. I believe firmly in the Constitution and the Declaration. That's our basis. That's our foundation. That's our guiding light. However, as years passed, we continue to make tweaks and kind of get away from its intent of the founding fathers, if you will. As I was doing the research and I was looking at, and I was said, let's take a look at this financial crisis that birthed this great recession. It is now in as long, what, 3 years, 4 years, if you will. In 2011, the economy did grow, you know, go figure, at 2%. And the unemployment nationwide in the U.S., 9%, in some cases, some industries, 11, 12, 14%. So it's interesting. Now, the state of Michigan, and I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge and say right now to everybody at Ford, you're my hero, everybody at Ford, the workers, everybody is just absolutely fantastic, okay? Fantastic. Fantastic in the, and you can tell here if you're watching the streaming, I got a little techno thing I got to deal with here. Bear with me. I'm in the studio by myself today. So let me fix one thing that's going to cause a problem. And I forgot about it before I got started. Once again, this is the beauty about live radio, right? Live radio. So bear with me. Okay, I think I got us all set. So thank you for that. As I was saying, I really, and I could not be prouder of Ford, and it's the way that they've been able to come out of this crisis, okay? So as I was about to say, the state of Michigan added more jobs in 2011, and get this. This is very interesting when you do that, when you stop and do the research and get the information, and what's power? Knowledge, right? Information, knowledge. The more you know, the better decisions you can make, right? So this is what we're talking about. This is what I want you to do, is to educate you. Be on top of the don't be passive. Be on top of the issues, if you will, and understand exactly what's happening. So, more jobs in the last 10 years, you know, and that's thanks to the resurgence and part of it with the bailout and what Ford's done. So this is good. Still, and this is what's interesting in the numbers, still just 58.5% of the population can say they're gainfully employed. Now, that's interesting. only 58% of the population, I find that number fascinating when I saw it, can say that they're gainfully employed. A decade ago, that number was close to 65, okay? So we look at that spread. That's what we have today. That's what we're closing 2011 with. That's what we're, you know, that's what we're faced with. That's the opportunity that we have moving into 2012. It's amazing. So a decade ago, as I said, that number is 65%. Now, the Depression was the last time in American history that unemployment exceeded 8%. Now, that's interesting. The Depression was the last time that the unemployment exceeded 8%. We're at 9, 10, 11, 12, depending on what states, right? But nationwide, well, we're about 9 today. I think that's correct. Okay. Now, wow. You know, I just think about that, and I want you to think about that for a moment, okay? And especially as you're doing your last-minute shopping. I did a show a few weeks ago on a television show, Circle Success Show with Dr. Jim White on KYMB-TV, about being careful going out in this holiday spirit and spending money that you don't have. I appreciate and respect the holiday for the intent that it is. And I know this is something that kind of rubs my wife the wrong way a little bit. I'm not as much as a Christmas person as she is. And what I mean by that is, I appreciate what it is, but I don't appreciate all the hoopla and all the buying and going in debt and all this type of stuff. Just drives me nuts. But it's fun to give and to see the pleasure on people's face. So that, but you know, so it's a mixed message. But I just caution everybody: focus on becoming more liquid, more liquid, more liquid. Watch the credit and watch the plastic. Okay, and we all do it. So just a little sidebar there. Now, Americans might take control in the knowledge that Europe. Now, this is another thing. This is a real hurdle in Europe. Now, what I need to do, I need to get another message in. I can continue to pay the bills. And we come back, we're going to talk about Europe a little bit more and what it does and does not mean. So stay tuned. Don't go away. I get to the switchboard, to the control panel. Here we go.
This segment is brought to you by 12 O'Clock High Leadership and Management Summit. 12 O'Clock High is one of the undisputed best movie classics of all time. It is also one of the best business learning tools available. The movie rated number one by top executives for its influence on their management style. Now, the inspiration of the 12 O'Clock High Leadership and Management Summit, an innovative one-day event and 30-day follow-up where you will quickly see what's working and not working on the front lines of your company and in your own leadership style. Learn more at 12high.com. That's 12high.com.
We're back. Thank you so much. You're listening to Circle Success Radio with Dr. Jim White. 12 O'Clock High is a business leadership summit. It's one day. It's 9 hours. It's just absolutely just one of the best things that you'll ever do, in my opinion. So go take a look at the website and see if you think that may be something that can benefit you at 12high.com. And our first one in 2012 is February the 24th, I believe. You'll see it there. And also, if you want to go ahead and get in line for that, when you go to checkout, use the code 12HIGH and you'll get a surprise. 12HIGH and you'll get a surprise. Okay. Prior to the break, we were talking about Europe and hurtling towards a recession. And a possible monetary crack up. I mean, we got to keep our eye on that. That's a serious deal. And they're in probably worse shape if we want to make a comparison, which is probably not a good thing to do, except a collapse of the euro in 2012 would just absolutely wreak havoc on the U.S. financial system, too. So that just goes to show you how connected we are worldwide, right? So don't be pointing fingers. All of our leaders on both sides of the pond globally, we need to be talking to each other because we all affect each other. So we got to stay on top of that, okay? Now, it was a good year for those in the business of chronicling the news cycle. It was a good year. The decline of the West and its rise of the rest, okay? So that's interesting. We've got the historic events, okay? Now, that used to be us being the Americans, right? And I so strongly believe in who we are in the spirit of Americans that we're challenged, and one of the things that we do so well, we rise to challenges. So that's one of the things that we need to do. You're listening to the show today or maybe doing a replay of the show. I want you to know that we've got to rise to the challenge. We've got to take a look even at from your family unit, what the vision is. If it's not working for you, you need to make a change in 2012. Do not need to live your life if you're unhappy, if you don't have the passion, if you don't have the purpose. If that relationship's not working for you, call it, move on, and you've got to move on, and you cannot set in because life is too short. And that's some of the things that I know that I'm evaluating on a daily basis. What's best for me and everybody around me, right? So it's been a good year for those for the news cycle, as I said. I think one of the books that really captured this pretty well was Thomas Friedman and Michael Mandelbaum, and actually borrowed some of the phrasing from President Obama himself, a dysfunctional Congress. And I made, I've already commented on that to a degree, dysfunctional. And the passing of the generation's great innovator, Steve Jobs, it still, to me, is very hard to believe that Steve Jobs is no longer with us. It's hard. He's one of the true leaders and innovators, and kind of did it his own way. And what he's given. I mean, what we're doing today. I think I have everything I have in the studio pretty much right now from a competing standpoint is Apple. And why? Because it's good. And his passing is left a real void in my mind. Now, it appears, the miracles and the innovations, and that's one of the things that we got to continue to look at too. And as we look back and continue to look back on 2011, of the innovations and what's happening and what's not. India is another area, as I was looking at the history. And India, I want to say thank you because we have a huge listener base in India. So it's their failure. And to my friends in India, to contain inflation, and the graph and the government's U-turn on allowing foreign retailers, okay, very interesting, foreign retailers to open stores there has sown doubts among investors disinvested in India and caused growth to sputter. So we have this huge, huge economy. There's such an infrastructure development need. There's huge opportunities there. But it's sputtered a little bit, okay? Now, as you also look at the expansion in China in 2011, and We look at the debt, and there's no secret. I mean, China owns a lot of the United States, right? And it's responsible for 40%. When I looked at that number, I said, can this be real? 40% of global growth since 2008. Now, you got to take that in. 2008, 40%. China, global growth, 40%. Okay, so it's 2000. And it's widely expected to drop below 8% in 2012. So there's some chinks in the armor there as well that we need to be aware of. From 9.3% in 2011. Okay, now weak consumer demand, as I drop my pen, a weak consumer demand and the falling property prices, and I've already shared my views on that, right? And I think I'm pretty clear my views on how we should handle and go back and revisit this foreclosure and property issue within the United States. Let's clean it up, new rules, become liquid, new risk analysis, but it's getting off, just get rid of all the inventory, it's everybody slap everybody on the hand, and it's move forward. It's one of the best things that we could do to start really adding value back into the economy. Now, once again, happy to hear all views. And this is what you do when you reach out there and go viral and go around the world and make your opinions. Now, at least I have an opinion, right? and I'm willing to stick by it. So it's these falling property prices and the rise on what I call predators. And there's no other way to call it other than that for a lot of practices of the queue. And we have a lot of predators. I mean, I'm dealing with one right now from a little lease company that one of the things got done, and one of our people, even back 2 or 3 years ago, signed something they didn't know they were signing because of predator practices and just giving me grief. And it's over a little terminal, and it's horrible. So when things happen, predatory practices, you got to be really careful. You got to be careful with a slick selling salesman, and it's just horrible. So I know firsthand. I mean, we're not talking about a whole bunch of money, but what it does, they have so much power in the credit reporting consumer. And if you do something, well, the broad powers invested from where people to be able to start placing stuff on your credit report, and it's up to you to get it off. So in our system today, it's about our credit rating. And these people can just destroy you, okay? So you got to fight. And I would encourage you to, if you haven't done so, is pull your credit report and take a look at it and see what's on there, because that's what you need to build. And there's no question. There's been a lot of stuff, and if you have it, if you've had a situation that you've been caught up in this thing, there's a way to repair. It's not the end of the world, but what I'm saying, I want to make sure that you're watching the predatory practices from these slick salesmen that will get you in trouble, okay? Now, it's amazing. From these predatory practices and this shadow banking system have stoked concerns, and there's a lot of concerns of a hard landing. I mean, we can just like an airplane, right? Hard landing, bang, you hit the ground, hard landing. No wonder that Beijing reacted nervously to public pressures for more transparent and accountable governance, and I'd encourage you to keep an eye on that. There's a lot of things that's happening there. Once again, why is this review of 2011, and like I said, in Jim White's view, my twist, my spin, just to try to put out the facts as I see it in a very simple, straightforward way. It's got to make sure that we keep an eye. Now, there's been over 180,000 mass incidents against local and national authorities across China. Now, you got a huge population, right? And just these numbers alone, when I did the research, I looked at it and all the mass incidents against local and national authorities across China. Now, that's according to the government-run research center for social contradictions, suggesting that the country may not be able to as stable as it looks, China, what we're talking about. And it's not, okay? It's not. It's not. But man, they, you know, been part of 40% of the economic growth, you know, since 2008, right? But there are some real chinks there, so we got to be really aware. I did a show recently on the five key qualities of a proven leader, and you can go the video on demand at jlwcos.tv and watch that. And what I wanted to bring forth was just a baseline, the basic skill sets that I believe a leader should have. And we were honored to we use an interview that Steve Croft from 60 Minutes did with President Obama. So go take a look at that. I'm just pointing out these things because we got a huge decision to make coming up in 2012. Right now, the West may be on its way to becoming a new world. And I think there was a book written recently, and I'm going to butcher it, but I think it's called The New Third World or something like that. But there isn't anyone stepping up to inherit the first place. That's what's interesting. And mom, there's no one stepping clearly up to inherit first place of leadership globally, right? Now, that's the same thing when I'm working with my clients. That's what I said. Step up and own the market. And that takes bold leadership. That takes a very clear vision, very clear mission. Step up and own the market. I tell you what. Coming into 2012, even with all the challenges that we are facing, man, there's huge opportunity. But you need some liquidity to make it happen. Liquidity. You know, the old thing about having money, you need to have money to do it, but there's opportunity abounds here. So somebody needs to step up to take the lead, first position. Nobody's doing it, and normally it's been the United States. And I'm not talking about how we, the United States, we're always stepping up and going and being the world's policeman, right? So that's not exactly what I'm saying. If globalization has leveled the playing field among nations, right, it's really exaggerating. The visions between them. It's put in a challenge and as evidenced through the various protest movements of 2011, they had desperate agendas. But their grievance, the people, and I made reference to that early part of the show, various protests and their grievance flows from the same source historically. High rates of the use, for example, in unemployment. I mentioned that earlier in the Middle East. But there's 25% unemployment in Egypt alone, right? And 40% in Greece. 40% unemployment in Greece. And 18% across in the U.S., right? You know, that's my numbers, what I found, the real numbers in my mind, okay? Now, frustration with the cronyism and its byproducts, inequality in that area, and the loss of faith, pride. In my 12 o'clock high program, there's a great scene in there with Gregory Peck, and he said what he thinks that the 918 bump group needs is pride. We do need pride, okay? Pride. Right. So it's a loss of faith and loss of, and I believe, you know, I said, once in my eyes, It's going to take pride. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take faith. Okay. Now, we've had in Egypt and Iran and Yemen and Libya and Syria and all across. You see it every day in the news. We've had some of the world's brutal dictators that have left, and in Libya and Gaddafi's has been dealt with. One of the great stories of 2011, and I tell you what, my hat's off to the intelligence community, Leon Panetta, and President Obama and advisors for the bold action that they took and was Osama bin Laden. Great job. And it's really getting rid of all of these brutal dictators. But what we got to be careful about going forward, in my opinion, sometimes the United States put money behind and helps create some of these brutal dictators. And so we got to be a little careful there. Now, the world's major powers will have less influence over the Middle East. That's my belief. They're going to have less influence over the Middle East. And as you probably know, I have experience in the Middle East. I've lived in that region in the 70s. So I understand the culture fairly well. Not an expert and not posing myself as an expert, but I understand it. Now, it's also clear that Syria, man, if that's not dealt with now, it's just going to be bloodier at the end, but it's going to be dealt with. But and like I said, the major powers will have less influence in the world and in the Middle East. Now, in Europe, we touched on briefly in the remaining time that we have. And like I said, I just wanted to talk about it from my views, just food for thought for you today as you're preparing to celebrate this holiday, a very important holiday, and just reflect, a time of reflection, and to understand that, we got these holidays. Remember, there is another day, so the bills are going to come due tomorrow, next week, and we got to keep going. It's really interesting that the debt crisis that caused the collapse of electrical votes in Europe and in Greece and Italy and Spain, and then we had Germany, which is the Euro's richest and most powerful member. It's amazing how things come about, right? Insisted that its neighbors kind of swallow the medicine a little bit and get on an austerity program. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, right? Now, it is also interesting because the Germans, like I said, Germany is the most powerful in the Euro in that community. But people of Southern Europe is kind of blanching at the prescription that augurs years of hard times, and that's ahead. And that's hard. I mean, we're faced with some years of hard times here, but also that's kind of a prescription, just the challenges. And I say this to my clients and all the speaking and all the seminars, all the work that I do. The more you move up in and take on more leadership roles, what you're looking for is a higher grade problem. That's what you get paid for. That's creating value. So you're looking for that higher grade problem, and this is what we have. So we got a huge opportunity, and I am excited about this next generation that's coming. I think we got some very bright, and I think that's going to be the people going to be graduating high school and college and next year and year after. So I think that generation coming is going to be a real real blessing for the country and for the world. Now, just a couple of things about the Occupy Wall Street, and I think I've been pretty clear is what I think about that. And it started a national conversation, though, and that's great, about the concentration of wealth. It's kind of like the Pareto principle, right? The first study of where wealth was controlled, and commonly referred to as Pareto's principle, right? I started back in the 1700s. This is not new, but you know, it, in a poll that we looked at in December, early part, Pew Research Center polls some 77% of Americans, including 53% of Republicans, say there is too much power in the hands of a few rich people. Agreed. Okay? And large corporations. Agreed. So what are we going to do about it? Okay. The 1% retorted, hey, my income's down by 23% and 70%. But this is where it's a slippery slope for me. I believe, I mean, we're in the, we live in the only country in the world that you can be absolutely free, come from nothing to accumulate a certain amount of wealth, but you got to make sure why you're doing that and how you're going to use it, right? So, you know, I don't begrudge people that work hard and to be able to accumulate a wealth. And so there's a fine line between these people that are moaning and groaning about the top, but those probably are the people that are actually, if you could give them $1 million a day, they'd spend it tomorrow. So it's a, you know, it's a fine line, and I'll just let you draw your own conclusions there, right? Now, a few more things about the Occupy Wall Street in particular. Needed to, you know, was a wake up call, okay. And it's very interesting. Michelle Bachmann in Iowa back in November, and her comments about Occupy Wall Street. And I'll quote: "Stop blaming job creators for the failures created by selfish politicians." Interesting statement by a presidential candidate, right? Maybe the blame lies with both, and I think it does. I think it lies with all of us, right? And that's what we've got to acknowledge. We all have a certain amount that we bring to the table, that we've created distrust. Financial, there's nothing worse than financial crisis to tear families away, destroy marriages, and with no hope, it, you know, it's just like the uprisings, right? What do you expect? And I certainly understand that. Maybe the, like I said, the blame in 2011, and if there's such a thing, I don't like to place blame, but there's an opportunity to everybody accept a certain amount of it, right? Now, the remaining time we have, like I said, this has just been a, as you can tell, just a journey, my thoughts. Love to get your feedback. But I want to bring this to mind before we close, because we're going to be off to air in about 3-4 minutes. Russia, China, France, and the United States will choose new leaders of their countries in 2012. China, Russia, France, and the U.S. Going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. Right. Now, you know, conventional wisdom, I mean, the United States, we normally get all the press coverage of our presidential elections. So, we don't know. So as I look at the people that have decided, and I admire anybody with the courage to throw their hat in the ring, to go out and to be abused, if you will. But unfortunately, I don't think we have any good choices running. until there is some real reform made. It's a political, it's expensive. So I think our choices pretty minimal, pretty disappointing, actually. And I'm not advocating one party or the other. I don't care what your party is. If you have the ability to inspire and educate, to make the tough decisions, and to be able to sacrifice, that's what we need. We need some bold leadership. Bold leadership. Not only at the government, we need it in your enterprise, our schools, our family units across the board. We need bold leadership. Okay? So, what I want to do in our remaining time, okay, I want to just kind of give you what's coming up on the TV show in January. January the 2nd, I'm going to do a show about visioning and strategy for your life in 2012. January the 9th, we got a great show, Naval Captain Wayne Porter, one half of author of Mark, now retired Marine Colonel Mark Mickleby, authored the National Strategic Narrative about a new direction for America. Captain Porter is going to be my guest for the hour. It will be a fascinating show. Go to the website, jowcos.tv, take a look at it, get everybody involved, read the narrative, which we're going to have up on the website so you can download. We'll have that up by Monday. So you can download and look at that and get involved. And it's basically a cry out for a course correction for the United States. So we're looking forward to that. Talking about investment banking, liquidity, we're reaching out to some of the major investment banking firms for their leaders to come on the show and kind of give their view of IPOs, where money's going to come from, need for liquidity, so we're looking at that. Then we have another show on the 23rd, I believe it is, of January. I'm very excited about this, and it's just a phenomenal deal. It's in Monterey County. It's a new charter school that just been approved by the Monterey County Board of Education, and it's the Media Center for Arts, Education, and Technology. It's going to be a very unusual platform. It's school that's going to be 8 to 5. It's going to be for all students, especially focusing on giving people opportunity from to learn television production, all the things that go with the filmmaking and the arts. And it's going to be a state of art studio over in Salinas, California, at the MCAT Center. It's in MCAET. And go to the website, and you'll see the logo there, and you can click on it, go take a look at it. Okay, so there's a few things we need to do, and we're going to be supporting in that area. So this is Jim White saying thank you for your time. Have a great Christmas, and we will talk to you on, I think, next Saturday. What are we doing? I think we got a show. We'll see. So anyway, check back often at jowcos.tv. Thank you for your time, and Merry Christmas.